Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Very full podcast today. In addition to the three martinis, good, bad, and crazy, we have two special little things that we'll consider champagne toast today. And the first is the passing of New York City Mayor Ed Koch. A quick champagne toast to the man known as His Honor. I've served three terms as mayor of New York City from the late 70s to the late 1980s. For the most part, a pretty staunch liberal. A lot of people loved him for helping to take the city away from the brink of financial collapse in the late 70s. In the end, it turned out, as we saw in the 2004 presidential election, Ed Koch could look at issues and even back a Republican. He supported George W. Bush against John Kerry over the war on terror, and he also supported the Republican in the special congressional race to replace Anthony Weiner. Ultimately, he came back in the Obama camp for 2012, but one of the great colorful personalities, and while we certainly didn't agree most on his politics, Jim, just a great figure and a great character in American politics is gone.
Indeed, probably one of the more larger-than-life figures you're going to see in the second half of the 20th century of U.S. politics. Interesting to see quite a few very genuine, eloquent tributes to Koch from folks on the right, a lot of folks at National Review. Some of this probably comes from being in New York and the New York area during his years of being mayor. Some folks kind of discussing, you know, is in light of this, is kind of the Koch years being slightly over-glamorized. Things in New York in the 1980s were not, you know, it was pre-Giuliani days. There was still plenty of crime, etc. But it's worth noting that he left the city in a better shape than he inherited it. And that, you know, life in New York City in the 80s, for all of its problems, was probably better than it was in the mid-70s. You can argue about how much of that is a result of Koch's particular policies, how much of it was the broader economic resurgence of America and the result of the Reagan years. But in the end, there's a little dispute. Ed Koch loved his city. He breathed, ate, and slept New York City down to the depths of his soul. And a lot of people wish we could have politicians who were as direct, blunt, and genuine as Ed Koch was.
All right, on to martini number one now. And if we were hoping that Chuck Hagel would have a rough time in his Senate confirmation hearings yesterday to be the next defense secretary, well, we weren't disappointed. But the liberals were, mainly by Hagel himself. We expected some tough questions from the Republican senators, and Hagel just simply did not do very well. Here's a couple of quick exchanges. The first one with John McCain hitting him for his opposition to the surge back in 2006, 2007, and then Lindsey Graham going after him for his comments saying that the Jewish lobby intimidates lawmakers and gets them to do stupid things once in a while.
Will you please answer the question? Were you correct or incorrect when you said that the surge would be the most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam? Were you correct or incorrect? Yes or no?
My reference to the surge being the most dangerous.
Senator Hagel?
Name one person, in your opinion, who's intimidated by the Israeli lobby in the United States Senate.
Well, first.
Name one.
I don't know.
So give me an example of where we've been intimidated by the Israeli Jewish lobby to do something dumb regarding the Mideast, Israel, or anywhere else.
Well, I can't give you an example.
Thank you.
Sterling performance by Senator Hagel yesterday. Ted Cruz also hit him on process, as well as some comments he made about Israel and war crimes back in the war with Hezbollah. Rough day for Hagel. May not make a difference given the makeup of the Senate, but it certainly is making the administration sweat.
One thing that was fascinating about yesterday's hearings was that nobody came out and said Hagel did a good job. A lot of people compared it to that first debate between Romney and Obama where Hagel was just so unprepared, so stammering, so unclear that there just was no way to say he had a good day. And in fact, he was terrible. A lot of people said, I'm glad you played the Lindsey Graham exchange, because a lot of people who may not be huge fans of Lindsey Graham watched him and said, man, he must have been a kick-butt trial lawyer, cross-examination of witnesses, to kind of, you know, hang Hagel with his own words and kind of observe that Hagel said something very bold that, let's face it, is one of the reasons a lot of folks on the left really like this guy, is the idea that he's, you know, willing to talk about the sinister Jewish, oops, I meant Israel lobby. Then when cameras are on you, okay, Hagel, tell us what dumb things we've done because of the Israel lobby. Who's intimidated by them? He can't back up his assertions. It really was a bad performance top to bottom. Clearly now, no Republicans going to vote for it. Very few Republicans will vote for Hagel. And I think he made it tougher for the Democrat to pretend that he's going to do okay. I think one of the things that was kind of striking about him was how he spoke in such generalities, suggesting that he's not really up to speed on all of the extraordinarily complicated decision-making processes and issues facing the Pentagon. He's going to have to do a lot of learning on the job. And boy, oh boy, that's, you know, kind of unnerving. Yesterday's performance was so bad. I think it's really might even be getting a bunch of folks really questioning whether maybe it's best for Hagel to step down and for Michelle Flournoy or one of these other folks who are more familiar with the inner workings of the Pentagon to step in instead.
Yeah, we'll find out. On to Martini number two now. And this one, if you've read the Morning Jolt today, it's pretty personal for Jim. It's the attempted terrorist attack, and I guess on some level successful one at the U.S. Embassy in Ankara. The bomber himself and a security guard killed when this bomb went off in the vehicle. Jim has spent a couple of years in Ankara, and obviously, Jim, this is nothing that we haven't seen before, but it's a bit unique in that part of the world.
People compare Ankara to the Washington of Turkey and Istanbul is in New York City. Ankara is a government town. It is the political and military headquarters, government capital. When I was over there, I never felt that unsafe just because there was always a ton of cops around and a ton of military around. Some U.S. Military presence, mostly working out of the embassy, but they, doing some work with the Turkish military there. I called it probably the safest city in that part of the world. So the idea of, and while there had been a few attacks in Istanbul, there would be attacks by Kurdish nationalists against Turkish targets. The Turkish authorities are saying that this is part of a left-wing Marxist group, not necessarily Al-Qaeda, not necessarily Islamist in nature. The folks I know are kind of surprised by this, which is not to say it's not inaccurate. I just mean this group is stepping up to a very different agenda, that this group's traditional beef had been with the Turkish government. The good news is Al-Qaeda is not quite what it used to be back in the days of, say, 2001. We have had an effective driving them down as a threat, but that Hezbollah and Al-Quds were a threat that now pretty much equaled them, and that while Hezbollah was not primarily targeting at the U.S., they're not friendly towards the U.S., and at any given moment, Hezbollah could start targeting Americans. Well, one day later, we have this attack against a U.S. target. It's a little unnerving. The U.S. has been moving Patriot missile batteries and stuff to Turkey to help them with the chaos on the border with Syria. I'm sure to a lot of folks, terror far off and in far off corners of the world is a depressingly commonplace event in this. It is kind of, just surprising to me. It's not quite as safe as a European capital or something in the middle of London or something like that. But this is a city that always struck me as pretty safe and kind of out of the way in the war on terror, and kind of interesting to see the U.S. being targeted there. The only other thing I would say, though, is that you do get non-Islamist attacks on U.S. embassies and places like that. I do recall while we were out there getting a phone call early one morning, there had been an attack on the U.S. embassy in Athens, Greece, and that everyone had been put on alert for further attacks in the region. It turned out that was by Greek nationalists. They had thrown a grenade through, somehow gotten the grenade through the window of the embassy, and it had ended up into a bathroom in the ambassador's office in the toilet. So you can have seemingly crazy local, groups deciding to lash out at the U.S. embassy. Just right before we came on, was informed that the State Department is warning all Americans in Turkey to be on alert, and yes, that seems like a very good idea at this moment.
As we get closer to the end of the week here, a little bit lighter fare in our final martini and our last champagne chaser, I guess. The crazy martini today, Jim, I'm not sure what's crazier. The news that Geraldo Rivera is considering a U.S. Senate run out of New Jersey in 2014, or the fact that he's considering doing it as a Republican. If anyone remembers his attitude during the Clinton impeachment era, that was the furthest thing anyone would have thought. But I guess a decade or so at Fox changes a man. I don't know.
It's something in the water over at Fox News. No, it's interesting to note this because Geraldo Rivera, I mean, some people, when you say his name, they think of the daytime talk show he had interviewing Satanists and stuff like that. The broken nose when somebody threw a chair at him in the big brawl that occurred on his talk show. Going into Al Capone's vault and finding not much of anything. Geraldo Rivera has had a long and varied career in the news business. However, post 9/11, he said he wanted to be a foreign correspondent. He wanted to report on the war on terror. And the folks at Fox News gave him that opportunity. So he jumped to Fox News. And I think it's safe to say that Geraldo Rivera very openly and clearly is a liberal on a whole bunch of issues, traditional social issues, and is believes that most of the efforts to restrict illegal immigration, he's denounced pretty vociferously. But in the end, he hates Al-Qaeda, he hates Islamists, and he wants to see the U.S. triumph over those who want to kill Americans. So I guess that's enough to make you a Republican these days. Certainly, he wouldn't have much of an issue of fundraising and creating a profile. I can't say that I really am eager to see Geraldo Rivera as the standard bearer for the Republican Party. I used his birth name, Greg. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
How dare you?
That he prefers to be known as Geraldo Rivera. A lot of people kind of seen him as this, mockable, larger-than-life personality in the news business and in, what some would say is tabloid journalism. But he's thinking about running in New Jersey, and the reason is because of the allegations that have enveloped Senator John Menendez. I'm sorry, Bob Menendez. I don't know why I called Bob Menendez John, Greg. Can you think of any reason that name might get stuck in my head?
I can't imagine it has anything to do with his alleged experiences with prostitutes.
That must be it. I keep hoping he'll go on Elliot Spitzer's show and explain all the allegations and stuff like that. So the possibility that Democrats may find themselves short one senator in New Jersey soon. And Geraldo Rivera obviously sees an opportunity there. And, I'll leave it up to listeners to decide whether Republican Senator Geraldo Rivera is worth replacing Senator Bob Menendez or Senator Frank Lautenberg or something. Is a, wacky, tabloid, controversial Republican worth replacing a Democrat? Some will say yes. Some will say, "Are you kidding me? I got to pull the lever for Geraldo Rivera." We will see. I don't think there's ever been a more perfect crazy martini than this one.
Final quick champagne chaser: a Super Bowl this weekend. Jim, who do you like? For me, I don't have a strong positive or negative feeling towards either team, so I have to go with the Harbaugh tiebreaker. Jim Harbaugh played for Michigan and the Bears, so I guess I'll lean towards the Niners.
There you go. I'm going for the Niners as well. I generally like the city of Baltimore, and I know that Ray Lewis has put together his life and is generally considered a pillar of the community in Baltimore and all that. But generally, we're all just pretend, oh, that guy got stabbed. And let's because nobody in the courtroom is able to prove that Lewis had anything to do with it, we're all just going to pretend nothing happened and avert our eyes. So with the Niners, you don't have that issue. The media has had their wonderful storyline for the entire year. I'm just really, really happy to have a year with no New York Giants and no New England Patriots in the title game, Greg. Thankfully, I don't have to watch either of those two teams that I dislike the most. And hopefully we get some really good commercials on Sunday.
There you go. So Ravens fans, in case you missed that, that was a veiled thank you for beating the Patriots. So
it was, yeah. I mean, exactly. I'll root for a murderer if he beats the Patriots. I got standards, Greg,
I can't top that. Everybody have a great weekend. Jim, you too. Talk to you next week.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Enjoy the Super Bowl, everyone. We'll be back on Monday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.